From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made when a local business owner was talking to a friend. Brian Mastro Simone owns some small businesses throughout the Finger Lakes region. Boat rental, home rental, farm, plans for, well, a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about that this hour. Pub, farm market, and more. And he didn't really have anything that tied his businesses together in terms of branding. And that is until a friend gave him an idea. The friend said, the growing empire of businesses are Finger Lake and Good. And for Brian, that was it. The perfect way to describe his ventures. Finger Lake and Good. He received approval from the patent office to use that slogan to promote his businesses, but it turns out Kentucky Fried Chicken did not appreciate that. The fast food chain has, of course, described its own food as finger-lickin' good for decades, and so KFC told Mastro Simone that he could not appropriate their tagline for his own use. And so here we are, big corporate power against a small business owner who says he never meant to steal anything from anyone. He's not selling fried chicken. We asked Brian Mastro Simone to come on the show, along with a representative from KFC, maybe the Colonel, even a PR rep, but who knows. But the bottom line is KFC said no thanks, but they sent us a statement. We'll read that in a moment. Brian Mastro Simone said sure, and here he is. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. What an interesting situation, an interesting moment for you. What I want to do is eventually I kind of want to work through what it is that you are building and your sort of your what you have in terms of businesses, but for you, you've described this as corporate bullying. You think you're being corporately bullied?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the name doesn't infringe on them at all. I wouldn't be hurting their bottom line at all. There's no correlation, really, when you break it down. And the fact that I have every foot to stand on, but I don't have the money to fight it, is a little it's disconcerting for me. And I thought we were the land of the opportunity, not the land of who has more money.
Is it kind of harrowing going up against a big corporate power that has an endless pile of like Scrooge McDuck cash?
That's right. And I don't, obviously. So here I am just trying to get some momentum behind me so that we can take them to court. There was two corporations in Vermont, actually. One called Eat More Kale. They got sued by another big chain restaurant and they won in court. And another one was Vermonster. It was a beer named after a beer in Vermont, and they got sued by another large corporation, and they won in court. So, I mean, obviously, I think if it did go to court, I would have no problem winning, but the fact of the matter is the cost of that happening is a little more than I expect, so that's why I'm here. That's why I've hit some some other news media.
The Eat More Kale stuff, is that related to Eat More Chicken?
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's a great story, and we posted it online on Lincoln Hill Farms on the Facebook that we have going on, and that guy's pretty cool. He reached out to me. He wants me to go up to Vermont and talk to him, maybe do some photo shots so he can help me out a little bit.
You guys against the corporate
Goliath? Yeah.
There you go. All right, and he won, by the way, you said.
He did, and so did Vermonster. Vermonster, the only limitation they have is they cannot serve an energy drink, which that's fine with him because he's a brewery.
Yeah, he's
fine with that. Different kind of energy, I guess.
Yeah, different. It's sort of the opposite, but yeah, whatever. We're talking to Brian Mastro Simone, who is, I was looking for one way to describe you. I mean, so how do you describe yourself as a business owner? What do you say?
I've been an entrepreneur. I graduated from RIT. I went the accounting route and worked for a big company and firm for about 6 months, realized it wasn't for me. Started buying and selling houses in the city of Rochester. Have probably done close to 500 houses, mostly rentals in the inner city. And that market kind of got saturated. So bought my first cottage out on Canandaigua Lake and started renting that out. And that went well. And I'm up to five on Canandaigua. I have two on Cayuga Lake, which is right down the street from the casino. So we get a bunch of hits from the casino on that one, on those two. And now I'm venturing into a farm where we're putting a brewery on it. And I also just got permits for a small pub on the lake, on Canandaigua Lake, right next to CMAC, where we're going to have a small brew system. So.
All right. So if things go the way you want, that pub will be near CMAC.
Yeah.
And your farm will have, it sounds to me, we were talking before the program, like you've got some plans for the public to be able to visit there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so the farm itself is, well, if you're on 5 and 20,
yep.
Take us to where your farm is.
You go up 5 and 20, you pass Naked Dove on your left, and it's your next right, it's 247, and I'm about a mile and a half down from there, and it's a 70-acre farm, and we've put in some fun things. We put in two ponds. We're planting about 7 acres of orchard. We're planting a 6-acre sunflower patch where we're going to start carving paths in the sunflower patch so you can have picnics and whatnot inside the flower patches. We just planted a huge maple tree section. We have just tons of fun things. A hops yard that we're putting in. We're putting in a vineyard. It's basically a touch of the Finger Lakes. We have everything you can get from the Finger Lakes on the farm on a smaller scale, obviously.
So, where's the brewery going to be?
So I have two. One is going to be on East Lake Road, and the other one is on the farm, which is relatively, really close to CMAQ. It's probably about 2 miles from CMAQ. So hope to catch a couple events with CMAQ. Well, we're not partnering up by CMAQ anyhow, but we're trying to get maybe people to come to our farm prior to going to a CMAQ place and enjoy some food and some beverages.
What's the name of the farm?
Lincoln Hill Farms.
Lincoln Hill Farms. And so if you go there now, don't go there now?
Don't go there
now.
Not
yet.
Not yet.
We're ideally
still in
when?
Production.
When are you going
to
be?
I would like the farm to be in full production this time next year.
Okay.
I hope to have a few fall events, but I can't promise that. It's a big undertaking.
Sure, absolutely. And so ideally 5 years from now, what does it look like at that piece of land? What are the kinds of people coming there?
Yeah.
You know, give me a kind of a picture of it.
Sure. So it's 70 acres. I'd say 30 acres of it would be farms and vegetables and wildflowers and just a really cool place. It's based on silos. So we're buying silos up and use silos, and we're creating them into scattering them out throughout the farm where you can have a serving station. We're going to have an outdoor kitchen where it's all going to be cooked off of wood. So there'll be no propane or, gas or anything like that. A little primitive. It's going to be something very unique. We're building, and if you go to Lincoln Hill Farms on Facebook, you can see the pavilion that's going in. It's a big timber frame pavilion. And that's overlooking a hops yard and a vegetable garden that's a little bit different. It's all raised beds, and there's actually places to sit and eat on the vegetable garden.
You sound almost like a farmer. Are you a farmer?
I'm trying to be a farmer.
You sound like a guy who's like almost a farmer.
Yeah, so I've spent 13 years in the city of Rochester buying and selling in inner city homes and just got burnt out by doing it. Lots of fires to put out there. I was with a management company. We had 1,200 units, and they're all singles and doubles. And that'll take a toll on you, to say the least. So just kind of got burnt out. One of my my partner at the time, he's bought me out pretty much of everything. I'm down to about 50 houses, and I just put them all on the market about 2 weeks ago. So
okay.
I hope to get out of there.
And now are you educating yourself on farm life?
Yeah, that's right. I've known nothing about farming, but it is exciting.
And you can hire people
it.
Who do.
That's right.
I mean, ideally, your operation could employ as many people, you think?
Oh, my goodness. It's a ton. Right now, everybody's working on the farm. We're just hiring subcontractors to come out and help. I've got a lot of local farmers that are supporting me, helping me, educating me, doing a lot of the major work. And once that's up and running, we'll probably have somewhere around 6 to 7 people just taking care of the farm.
Mm-hmm.
We do plan on selling a lot of produce, and that produce would be sold out of our small pub on East Lake Road, which is right next. It's about, if you go straight down 18 from 5, from 247, mm-hmm. It's right there on your left. And we should be doing the build out on that next week.
When did you acquire the land, the 70 acres?
2.5 years ago.
What was it?
It was a old tree farm, Christmas tree farm. And so had tons of Christmas trees. We actually just transplanted over 100 of them to try to make it more suitable to, we didn't want to lose those trees by any means. So we're just transplanting around the farm right now, kind of giving the farm a different look.
And I understand what you talk about in terms of your business work with housing and getting burned out on that. But why do you want to do this?
I've always had a passion about farming. And about 6-7 years ago, I took up hunting. And I've always been fishing since I was a child. And I think the everyday-to-day grind of being an inner-city landlord kind of took my toll on me, and you know, the money was great, the margins were unbelievable, but at one point, it's not about the money, it's more about what you like to do, and I wasn't enjoying it anymore, so I took a different route.
You consider yourself a Finger Lakes enthusiast?
I do. I think I know more about the Finger Lakes than the average local person, for sure.
Okay, and so Brian's work eventually leads to this dispute that comes up. So let's kind of walk through the timeline of this then. So you're putting together plans for the farm, for the pub,
yep,
for all these things that you've got this vision for.
Yep.
And I know you've described other media outlets, but tell me the story. You were talking to a friend. How long ago was this?
This was August of last year.
Okay.
We were just sitting around on Park Avenue having a beer, and I was telling him everything I did. And he had just recently moved in, so he was just kind of asking me what's going on in my life. And right about then is when we had all the blueprints for the farm. And that was just the farm at that point. And I was telling him about that. I started a boat company last year. We do rentals. And he was pretty excited about that as well. Full concierge service. So any of the people who stay at my houses, we can set them up on, you know, wine tours and all that. And so he was just like, man, that's really Finger Lake and good. And I was like, oh, man, Chris, I'm gonna take that, and I'm going to run with it. And he's like, all means, go ahead. You know, I said, maybe I'll give you a free beer here and there for it. So he was pretty excited about it.
Now, you're a business owner.
Yeah.
You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
RIT grad.
Yeah.
Never occurred to you that KFC might not be thrilled with your slogan?
So when we went to Trade Market, we put it in across the board of everything that I think I could have used it on. Now, some of those things I might not have ever used it on.
And you're using it, by the way, as a name of the business, as a slogan, as a trademark? What exactly are you using Finger Lake and Good for?
Most of it's going to be used for the slogan. So we'll be using it for T-shirts. We'll be using it. I would like to name one of our signature beers after it. And you know, any miscellaneous things that could maybe a sandwich and the pub, something like that. But that's about it. That's the slogan. But when you rent out a boat, you know, the slogan's gonna be Finger Lake and Good. When you call the concierge service up and you want to take a wine trail, just doesn't have to be on Canandaigua Lake. It could be on any of the lakes. You know, it's Finger Lake and Good. So that's what the slogan's for. It's to represent a region. There's no infringement by any means on KFC. And the fact that the other two companies that I had talked to you about earlier, the fact that they won makes me believe that I could win. It's just the fact that they had huge people behind. Well, they had a lot of people behind them supporting them to fight the fight.
But Senator Master Simone, you dodged the question. So let me ask you again. Did it ever occur to you that KFC might not like this?
Okay. So again, I'll go back to when we did register. The USPTO did say that we could not use it on any sauces or bottled jars of sauces. So when that hit, my attorney from Harris Beach definitely said that we could get some pushback from KFC.
Okay, but it sounded
at that
like
point, I said, well, look, if the USPTO already had mentioned them and they said we only can't use it on a sauce,
sure,
then why should they have any problem with it? Again, I'm not infringing on their product.
Okay, and actually, if I were in your position, I think I would be even more emboldened by the fact that the patent office is saying, yeah, don't use it on a sauce, but otherwise you're good.
Right.
Did they tell you why? Did they give you a reason that you can't use it on a sauce or whatever? Or did it seem sort of obvious?
Yeah, it just seemed obvious.
If you sell fried chicken, maybe don't use this?
Sure, sure. Yeah, okay. I promise you there was no fried chicken in any of my business plans.
But you got a pub, man. I mean, like, if you're selling fried chicken at your pub,
it's not happening. All the food off the pub will be from the farm. So we do have chickens on the farms that would be laying eggs, and we're really going more towards the breakfast sandwiches at the pub that are already pre-made, and it will kind of be shipped in from the farm to the pub.
So we're going to hear from an attorney in the second half hour, not specifically about this case, but just sort of broadly about trademark and what's coming up with legally. I have to say, I mean, I think if I'm sitting in KFC's corporate offices,
yeah,
which seems like the worst job ever, but let's say I'm doing that. Let's just say I am. I think this is probably good for our business. I'd go, you know, okay, well, the guy's sort of riffing off our slogan, But it's not bad for us. You're not making fried chicken. You're not selling sauces. You're not, you don't have some dude named the Colonel. I don't think. And by the way, Brian, that would be dumb. Don't do that. But I don't think you're doing anything other than putting the idea of KFC, if people have that association, in their minds. I actually think this would be a time where if I were in that corporate office, I would say, okay, maybe technically is there a window for us to try to sue him? Maybe. But why do it? I don't understand that.
Yeah, and I've got to take myself out of my shoes, put myself in KFC's shoes. And it's such a large corporation that I just think that, you know, USPTO grants it. They send it out to all the companies. I'm imagining that there is some keywords that get hit by KFC or any large corporation out there. It comes through their office. It's just like, you know, a machine, basically. They see this thing and they just shoot it out, say, well, you can't use that.
Yeah,
just
right.
Because we
say
can.
No, say no.
Right.
Say no.
And
yeah.
So I understand that part. But now that it's gotten this far, I just assume, why don't they call me up? Why don't they reach out to me personally or reach out to my attorney on a personal level, not just sending notes? And say, hey, how can we work this out so that you aren't going to at any point infringe on my product? And that's what makes most sense to me, right? So if I got into a fight, if my neighbor's doing something that I don't like, I'm not going to just immediately call the police or the town on them. I'm going to walk over there and say, hey, can you not do this, or can we work something out here? And the fact that they just went straight to, you can't use this or else we're going to sue you, I think that's where I came up with corporate bullying, the corporate mantra. It's me against them. And basically, we're playing a game of chicken here, but they're driving a semi. I'm on a moped here.
All right, but hold on. Let me read KFC's statement, because we asked them to come on, and they said, no thanks, but here's the statement that we'd like you to read. Quote, "It's finger-licking good is one of KFC's oldest and most important trademarks. We wish Mr. Master Simone well in his business endeavors, but we must defend our trademarks against anything that might weaken them or confuse our guests." Period, end quote. Sorry, KFC. I don't really understand what's confusing. Is somebody going to be like, finger-licking good? Wow, KFC's got a finger licks place now, and they sell sunflower seeds. Like, what is happening? What would be confusing?
And that's insulting to me if I'm one of their customers, right?
yes.
So I'm not sure what's confusing about that, and I'm not infringing on anything they're doing. And again, if we had to come to some agreement and we could put it in writing, I would be more than happy to do that. There's no time or thought during this whole process that I thought I was going to try to take away business from KFC.
But, all right, so let me do my duty and at least establish this point here. If they had not had a phrase, finger licking good, there would be no finger licking good. Is that true?
I disagree. I don't believe.
Come on, man.
I don't believe that finger licking good was never used before KFC started. Can you say that? I mean,
yeah, but your friend would not have been like finger licking good if it wasn't for the ubiquitous popularity.
There, that phrase would be around forever.
Did your lawyer tell you not to admit this? Come on.
I am truly in belief of that. It's not like the Colonel came up with that phrase out of the blue, and I mean that was obviously starting to happen probably for hundreds of years.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody said finger licking good before KFC. I agree with that. But they have popularized it, right?
Yes, because they have the money to do it. But I don't think that if they weren't in existence today, you would have never heard that saying before. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's a question for an attorney.
Yeah.
Gosh, I've tried to avoid all this legal speak. You're good, man. No, okay, but you really think, though, that finger licking good might have been your slogan even if KFC never existed?
Absolutely.
I think your attorney told you to say
I try to talk to at least as amount to my attorney because every time I do, that's true.
Every time if they so much as think about you on the way to work,
that's right.
It's a billable hour.
That's right.
It's a billable hour.
That's right.
You're talking to Brian Master Simone, who is the owner behind a series of businesses. He's telling us about the name of the farm, by the way. What's the name of the farm?
Lincoln Hill Farms.
Lincoln Hill Farms, which the name of the farm comes from what, by the way? What's Lincoln Hill?
So the whole area at one point was Lincoln Hill Farms, and I am not on Lincoln Hill Farm Street. I back up to it, but that whole area is just Lincoln Hill something, you know. So
it's called back to the to that.
So yeah, thing. So yeah. We wanted to keep the history within that area, and that's why we came up with the the name.
Okay, and so Brian's operation there. He's a guy who owns a number of different enterprises, rental properties in the Finger Lakes, boat rentals, but wants to eventually have a pub right near CMAQ and the 70-acre farm, which could be really in full flower a year from now. That 70 acres is going to be open to the public to have different tastings, a beer, and different things they grow there. And the idea is, well, it'd be fun to have a slogan. His friend came up with the idea of Finger Lakin' Good, and KFC said, you can't do that. When did they contact you, though? When did that all start?
So once I got it approved, they kept on extending it. And it wasn't until... March 16th is when they said you would need to drop it or else.
KFC told you that.
Yeah.
So just about a month and a half ago, and they told you in what? So you said they never called you directly?
No, they, never. They sent basically that letter that they sent to you. They sent that to my attorney. They said that you need to drop this. We want $4,400 in legal fees, which I think that's hilarious.
They want you to cover the legal fees for it?
That's awesome. Yeah, because they don't have enough. And so I had till April 16th to reply, and now I'm asking for extensions because it's almost at this point I'm a little frustrated with just it's the principle at this point. I could totally see if my major product was chicken or sauce or something like that, but I represent a region. I'm bringing tourism into this region. The region, I think I hit it at the greatest time. You know, there's huge development on the north end of Canandaigua Lake. There's the casino that moved in. You got breweries popping up nonstop. So I just felt like this was the perfect time to go ahead and do that.
And so now, where do things stand? They've told you that, you know, you've got some legal struggle coming your way if you don't sort of cease and desist here.
Yep.
And in the meantime, you are trying to raise money to handle that fight.
Correct.
Through what?
We did buy a bunch of T-shirts and we're selling.
He's wearing one of them now.
Yeah.
I see it. Yeah.
And we're trying to sell those to raise some money to help us with our legal fees. We also have a GoFundMe account. I've had stores actually approach me and different restaurant owners, different breweries approach me to say, hey, we want to help fight this fight. But when I asked my attorney if that was a good idea, they said there might be some liability on their end. So it's hard for us to actually put the T-shirts in the stores. Wish there was a way around that, but I definitely don't want somebody else getting bombarded by this corporate bully like I am.
Okay, and so where can people get the shirts? What are they paying for the shirts?
Currently, they can go to Lincoln Hill Farms on Facebook and purchase the shirts there, or they can go to fingerlakinggood.farm, and they can purchase the shirts there. Hopefully soon we'll be able to figure out a way around selling the shirts within stores and breweries and wineries.
How much do you think you need to raise, Brian?
That's a good question. I was told that depending on how they handle it, KFC, I mean, they can drag this out, keep on going, you know, saying a motion, and I guess, I don't even know what that means, but that's what I was told by my attorney. And it could cost up to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh.
Yeah.
Eventually, you'll decide that's not worth it, won't you?
Yes, unless I can get the support from the community to help me pay for that.
Whew. Okay. And what do you expect to hear next on this? I mean, is there sort of a...
That's a good question. So probably next week or the week after, May 16th, we have to file something back. I don't know if we're going to try to extend it. I'm not sure. Or we're going to, I want to counter. So my attorney thinks I'm crazy for doing that. But we'll see. I've got to definitely weigh my options. You know, I'm a busy man. I've got three children. And this is taking up quite the time.
Let me grab a phone call. And this is Bob in Mendon on line one. Go ahead, Bob. Hi, Bob. Go ahead. I'm not
great.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob. Start over there because we didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I said I've got a solution for you. Change it to Finger Lakin' Great, and buy some property up on Lake Ontario and do the exact same idea, and then you could cover the Finger Lakes and the Great Lakes.
It's really ironic you say that, Bob, because I had on Easter, my nephew had mentioned the exact same thing, and his name is Nico. And after Nico told me that exact same story, I said, "Hey, Nico, why don't we just change your name to Nick?" You know, it's the same thing, right?
Well, no, because one, you don't have to worry about the hassle you're going through right now. And as you mentioned, that, you know, your time is valuable, and this is a colossal waste of time, and they're just going to drag you through this process because they can afford to. Avoid it entirely. And I mean, if something is good, it's even better if it's great.
Yeah. I like that. But it's just at that point, I see what you're saying, but the fact that I'm getting bullied for no reason, don't you think there's something to be said about that? I mean, there's principle behind this at this point too.
So now this is like a staring contest.
I agree,
yeah, like I said, I'm playing a game of chicken. They're driving a semi. I'm on a moped, and hopefully I can get that moped and upgrade it to a semi or a tank.
Never be afraid to not believe your own elevator story. So just because that was your intention and your goal, it's okay if it changes, especially in business.
Sure. No, I appreciate the call, and I thank you, and I think that's an awesome solution, and I have a team that's working with me, and they've mentioned that to me too. It's just a little disheartening when I have to change everything I'm doing when I don't feel like I'm hurting anybody.
Here's a different Bob in Ontario who calls in off air to say he suggests you use Finger Lake and Fabulous. I mean, what kind of feedback have you gotten?
I've gotten a lot of those. Why don't you just change slightly a little bit more?
Yeah.
And I've always said, oh, why don't we just change your name slightly a little bit more? What's the difference? You know, instead of calling me Brian, I'll change my name to Ryan. There's not much of a difference.
You're stubborn, man.
Yeah.
You really want to win this.
I do.
But what kind of feedback in general? What kind of supportive feedback have you gotten?
I think the conversation we had off air right before this about how you didn't think it's that big of a deal. How you thought that KFC might even benefit from this. Obviously, I don't think I'm going to change their stock market from it, but I'm definitely no doubt in my mind or anybody's mind who's reached out to me that I'm going to take any pennies away from them. Nothing. If anything, they might sell a few extra buckets. So the fact of the matter is it's a corporation. This is just a formality for them. There's no thought process in it. It comes in one way, it gets shoot out of the computer, and that's what they have to do. And I don't even think, you know, middle management has even heard of this. Nonetheless, the VPs or, you know, the CEO, no one's heard of this, and I'm not even on their radar yet. But it's a little, it's disturbing. I mean, it's not beneficial to small entrepreneurs that are trying to make a living, and you can just get bulldozed over by a larger corporation. It shouldn't be allowed.
In a moment, I'm going to bring in an attorney to help kind of frame up the broader questions here, but let me grab one more quick phone call from Bruce in Irondequoit. Go ahead, Bruce.
I don't know how he can think that this could stand on its own, that they've built up this trademark. I mean, if there was no Kentucky Fried Chicken and no Finger Licking Good, his comment would mean, his slogan would mean nothing. So why should he benefit, whether they're a big corporation or another individual with a business that's trademarked their right? Why should they give up their right for him to piggyback off them? And if there's any negative connotations in what he's doing, it may well reflect back on their company. So why does he think that the rules, and the rules are pretty specific out there, that they don't apply to him?
All right, Bruce, thank you. Go ahead, Brian.
Thanks for the call. I don't believe that I'm infringing on them. The USPTO granted that, so they don't believe that I'm infringing on them. And again, finger licking good was a phrase that was used probably for 100 years. Yes, they made it famous, but if they weren't around, I would still be using that phrase today.
I see. That's where I have a really hard time buying in. That's where I'm like, really? Come on. But I understand your point is that they didn't invent those words.
Right.
But they
or the saying. They did not invent that saying, I promise you. And I'm 39 years old. I can't go back. They've been around for 52 years. I can't go back that far. But I can tell you that the Finger Lakes have been around for millions of years. So the Finger Lakes have been around for very much longer than they have.
Brian is ready for this fight. Brian Master Simone is the man behind Finger Lake and Good. And so let's do this. David and Menden, Randy and Rochester, if you're on the lines, hang there because I do want to hear from you. I want to bring in an attorney after this only break of the hour for a little bit of legal perspective as well, because I've got questions. Brian raised, I think, a really important point. Is he really causing harm to KFC? And what I don't know is there a legal standard for that? In other words, if they were to really take this to court and Brian had the funds to try to fight it, would KFC have to prove that his use of that phrase injures them or not? I don't know the answer to that. So there's a lot that I'm sort of wondering about. Let's get our only break of the hour and come back and talk about it next. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, we preview the next Reshaping Rochester event, and this time focusing on riverfront revitalization. What can Rochester learn from downtown Chattanooga? Then in our second hour, it's a spotlight on mothers, an upcoming production called Listen to Your Mother. Will feature local women sharing their stories of motherhood, stories of loss, addiction, immigration, complicated relationships, and more. We'll talk to some of the cast members. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and I want to bring in Kristen Molno-Walsh, who is a partner at Nixon Peabody in Rochester, not to weigh in specifically on Brian's case. That's not her case, and that's not what I wanted to ask her about. I wanted to ask her just a couple of broad questions on the legal side of things. And I know your time is valuable, and you are not billing us by the hour, Kristen. Thank you for that. Thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Oh, sure. I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Well, all right. So I started to raise that question on, you know, if a company would have to prove harm. So if I have a company that for years has been using some kind of a slogan and somebody uses it or something similar, could I simply say, look, I've got that slogan trademarked and you can't use it? Or if I really wanted to pursue that in court and it went to court, would I have to prove that that person's use of it is harming me in any way?
Well, no, the harm is not a required element. What you need to prove, if you're a trademark owner and you think that someone is infringing your rights, the applicable standard is you have to prove that there's a likelihood of confusion. And that can be as to source, that consumers are confused through your use of the mark as to who is the source of the product, or that consumers are confused about whether there's endorsement or sponsorship or affiliation. And this is why, you know, another reason why lawyers get a bad rap, right? To figure out if there's a likelihood of confusion, there's a multi-factor test. And of course, we'll look at a lot of elements, including how close are the marks, how close are the goods and services, how are they sold, what are the price points, and they look at things like that. And if you can, as the trademark owner, prove that there is a likelihood of confusion, you will prevail in the infringement suit. Now, what kind of remedy you can get depends. The typical remedy is that you get an injunction and the bad guy, the infringer, has to stop. If you're looking to get monetary reward, you have to have a higher showing of proof there.
All right. And I know there's different sort of, I think there are different actions, and I'm not exactly sure in this case what KFC is doing, but let's just talk broadly, Kristen. What's the difference between an opposition proceeding that I've read about and a court action, you know, and why would a trademark owner, whoever it might be, decide to go one route or another and how they would pursue it?
Okay. The case that Mr. Simone has against him is a trademark opposition proceeding. And that is an action that's filed before the trademark office through an administrative agency called the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board. The only thing the board can decide is whether the applicant has a right to have a registration for the mark. The board cannot decide whether someone can use the mark. The board can't award monetary damages. They can't award attorney's fees. So many times when a trademark owner is bringing an opposition proceeding, they're concerned that they don't want the applicant's mark to be registered, to clutter up the register. You know, here perhaps, you know, KFC doesn't want other marks on the register that have finger and good, right, for food items. In contrast, in a court action, a court can award monetary damages. They can tell somebody you can use it, you can't use it. You know, so the remedies that are available through a court proceeding are far broader in scope.
Okay. And I'm wondering also if you agree with something Brian said earlier this hour, which is that he's got this view that, you know, a company like KFC, doesn't even have to be this specific case, but sort of bigger corporations, just kind of cast this net out, and anybody who violates a trademark they have in any way, they have sort of this automatic no, 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 can't, as opposed to saying, okay, let's evaluate this on a case-by-case basis. Does this really hurt us? You know, who is this person? What are they doing? You know, in your experience, Kristen, do corporations simply usually say no in a knee-jerk way? We've got that trademark. You can't use it. Or are there cases where they would say, look, that, do what you want. It's not going to hurt us, or it might even benefit us.
Well, there are corporations that take both of those views. Trademark owners, big and small, have varying, many different enforcement programs. And that's what this is. This is an enforcement program. A trademark owner, what they need to be, what most trademark owners, whether they're corporations or small, you know, small, big, whatever, you need to be watching to see if somebody else is starting to use a mark that's confusingly similar to yours. Because that's what's really unique about trademarks is an intellectual property, a form of intellectual property, in that there's a consumer-facing aspect, and you don't want your consumers confused. So, you know, no, you're not going to just object to every single thing that's similar, but if it's something that's a mark that's been applied for and something that you do, like, you know, barbecue sauce in your KFC, well, then maybe that causes you to take take some action. And, you know, these are proceedings that are controlled by statute, so they're time periods by which you have to do things. I can tell you that in my practice, at least, most trademark disputes, particularly opposition proceedings, are resolved before the trial at the end. Sometimes you can find a workaround where both parties can become satisfied that they can each use their own marks with certain restrictions, perhaps on a field of use or as a, you know, always accompanying a primary mark or something like that. I suspect that's what happened in the Vermonster case that was discussed earlier.
Okay, and then a couple more quick ones, and we'll let you go. I certainly appreciate your time, Kristen. When it comes to the patent, you heard Brian mention earlier that the U.S. Patent Office said yes to the slogan Finger Lake and Good, but he cannot use it on sauce?
Correct.
So essentially sauce is yep. what they said no to. You know, I had an email from someone saying, well, big deal, there's been plenty of patents that have been invalidated in court. That's not de facto evidence that Brian's got a good case. And I don't know. That's not my legal expertise.
Okay.
Do you see, how do you take that, Kristen?
Okay, well, they're talking about trademark registrations, not patents. So that's a different a different IP bucket, so to speak.
KFC is totally benefiting from this.
So many fun puns.
So what actually happens in the trademark office when you are the trademark owner? If you file an application seeking to register your own mark for certain goods and services, what the trademark office does and looks to see if there's any similar registrations for similar goods. So I suspect that that's what's happened here. When they looked, they found that KFC had a prior registration that covers sauce, and that's why they issued a refusal on that ground. You know, so yes, they've allowed the mark, Brian's mark, to go on to publication. And, you know, we trademark lawyers argue all the time that the board got it right or they got it wrong. This is what the opposition mechanism is for when an application is published. Anybody who thinks they're going to be damaged or aggrieved can oppose, and that's what KFC has done here.
Okay, and Kristen, one more time, just so I'm clear in my own head, and I wonder if listeners feel the same. You mentioned it's not about proving harm, but you have to show that there would be confusion among potential customers. Again, how are you going to show that someone might be confused?
There's actually I want to add one more point, but I'll answer your question first. On the confusion, you would make your showing on each of the factors. You might show, well, this mark, what's their mark, Finger Licking Good? What's my mark, Finger Licking Good? What are the various goods and services, restaurants and chicken? You go through all of them, and then you kind of, there's a weighing that goes into it. How do all of these, the pluses and minuses weigh up? You can also, in many cases, it's necessary to go out and get consumer survey evidence, and that's very expensive. We're basically, the old-fashioned way to do it was kind of like the mall intercept surveys.
Yep.
But you do a survey and say, well, if you see this, you know, who do you think made it? One of the reasons why trademark litigation, whether you're before the board or in a court, can be expensive, because all of these are factual showings that have to be hashed out, sometimes with experts. So you know, it's frequently not a black and white answer.
Sure.
Let me throw one more thing.
Absolutely.
Another one of the grounds that's been asserted here is dilution. If you are a trademark, if you own, as a trademark owner, a famous mark, our trademark laws provide you with another claim, which is dilution. It's called dilution. And one of the ways you can show that is, you know, my mark is so famous that when people see this other mark, my mark is not going to be as strong. So that's another way, that's another claim that's in play here. And everybody, I've heard a lot of talk about, oh, this is a famous slogan. Well, that's what KFC's position is, certainly. And there's a legal reason for them to be asserting that, because it gives them an additional claim here.
Kristen Molnar-Walsh is a partner at Nixon Peabody, and thank you for your expertise. I learned a lot here, and thanks for taking the time, Kristen.
Oh, sure. You're welcome.
All right. Well, so before I get back to your phone calls, more are waiting. Anything you want to add to what you just heard there, Brian?
I just can't wait till KFC calls me up so we can come to a compromise. We can just end it. You know, I don't want to continue to do this.
You want this over?
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I mean, I'm spending too much time, too much money. You know, I would love for a phone call.
On Twitter, wow, that's a great Twitter handle. Profoundiculous says, why do we have a legal system where whoever has the most money wins?
Well, that's what I've been saying. You know, if you took the exact situation, 100%, the only thing you changed was my bank account is as big as theirs and their bank account is as big as mine, this wouldn't even be an issue. And that's disheartening. And I just don't understand why that, you know, I'm not saying everybody should agree with me, but if you can't see that point of it, then it's a hard conversation to have with you.
Barbara writes to us and says, go, Brian, I agree with you. You are not going to hurt KFC, and they are just trying to bully you. But here's David and Menden next on the phones. Go ahead, David.
It's not about, and as Kristen alluded, it's not about bullying. It's about protection of a trademark that is, and a slogan that is so strong that if you went to any mall anywhere in this country and asked people, finger licking good. Do those sound similar? Yes, they do. Would you think maybe KFC had something to do with it? Well, yes, they would. This gentleman's going to lose on every single point of that consumer confusion argument. It's not going to fly. You've got to change that trademark or come up with something else. I would have picked something much less strong in the public consciousness. I mean, Xerox, Kleenex, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Pepsi, Coke, they've all got these strong, strong slogans that you just can't touch. And it has nothing to do with the company having a bullying attitude. It's about the company protecting what they've built up from scratch over the years that they've built their company. And you've got to understand that.
So, David, I have a question for you then.
Absolutely.
Because I appreciate this perspective. I think it's possible if you went to malls and you did that kind of survey, finger licking good. What company, what brand? Most people would say KFC. Finger Lakin' Good. Who do you assume made that brand? Well, let's say that 80% of people you talked to said, oh, I assume that KFC is doing something in the Finger Lakes. So let's say that you establish some threshold of confusion. Who cares? What's the big deal? Why does that harm KFC? No one is buying less chicken from KFC anyway, right?
Because what happens, and as Kristen alluded to at the end, is dilution. If a company that's built that slogan up and it's so strong in their brand, right, you can eventually lose the power of your trademark. And when you go to reapply, which the companies all have to do periodically, the PTO or the USPTO can then say, your trademark's been diluted because you let A, B, C, and D use it for these instances. It's not harming them in terms of direct retail sales. I'm not at all, you know, confused that this gentleman wants to sell chicken, fried chicken. But that trademark and that slogan is what needs to be kept strong and protected.
All right, so
you've got
this. In
order to avoid the dilution.
You have an international corporate company with a slogan, and a 70-acre farm in upstate New York is going to dilute the slogan.
Not perhaps one person, if you want to do a percentage, but over time, if you allow it, and this is why they're so protective, if you allow it once, you can allow it more than that. And over time, the dilution argument becomes stronger.
But there aren't other ones. There aren't others. I mean, he's the only one that at least I know of. That okay, so anyway, the point is, David, from your perspective, dilution is an issue, and you think he's going to lose on this.
Absolutely.
Okay, so David, thank you for the phone call. Brian, David sounds like, I don't know his background, but it certainly sounds like he has gone down this road before, and he thinks the outcome for you is not going to be pretty. What do you think?
Yeah, I refer back to Vermonster, and I refer back to Eat More Kale. Those guys won. They didn't. It's almost identical. I represent more of a region. I think I have just as strong as a foot to stand on than those two companies or organizations.
All right, back to the phones we go, and this is Randy in Rochester next on the phones. Go ahead, Randy. I lost you for a second. Are you there, Randy? No. All right, Randy, call back if you could. Let me go to, I think we've got Verona in Brighton. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm just confused. Why would you even want that slogan? Like, I don't even associate anything good with KFC. You know, the food isn't good. It's just like the worst place you can go to, really, to eat out. Why would you want to connect the Finger Lakes, like this beautiful region, with this like hole-in-the-wall, grease bucket, nasty place?
A lot of people like it.
It's got a nice ring to it.
I agree with the past caller. You know, the only difference between finger laking and licking is an A and a C, or an I and a C. I mean, it's too close. It's very close. I don't understand why you would put so much effort and energy rather than just change it, seriously. Yeah. You know, and it is to me, that is my opinion. I critique for a living. And to hear that finger licking, I don't understand. It's kind of cute and kitschy. I get that. But why would you want to connect it to? It's beyond me.
Thank you, Verona. Go ahead, Brian.
I guess that's my opinion. That's my business plan over your business plan. It doesn't really matter, right? It's my business.
Well, obviously you think it is a good idea.
Yeah, I like the ring. I like the slogan. You know, we can change a lot of letters on one letter on a lot of words, and they would have completely different meanings. And I can definitely, I'm not going to get into what words we can change, but there's obviously one thing, and a finger lake is the Finger Lakes. I mean, I have nothing to do with fried chicken, fast food, mashed potatoes, anything like that. So, I mean, I guess it's, I can sit here and ask 100 different people why they chose the slogan for what they did because I didn't like it. That's what I like.
Let me go to... this has been such an interesting hour, by the way. This has been so, Randy is back on line one. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, yeah, I got cut off, but interestingly, the caller ahead of me, I was going to say the exact same thing to Brian, right?
Yeah.
If I were you, I'm not thinking about legal stuff, but a lot of us think of Kentucky Fried Chicken as a really horrible company. I would run as far away from them as possible. They're a company that basically tortures 50 or billion animals a year and serves really awful food to people. I would run away from that whole slogan and do something different. And they're going to crush you. That they're not a normal corporation. Anybody who, any company or corporation that raises billions of animals for slaughter, trust me, they're not nice. They're not going to give up on you.
Treat me like one of their chickens. They're going to slaughter me.
That's what Randy thinks.
Yeah,
what do you think?
That would suck for my three children, I'll tell you that, and my wife.
I don't think he thinks they're actually going to murder you.
No, I get it.
I mean, I don't think. KFC, call us and confirm. I don't think that's the actual threat. I think it's just litigation. But, I think the point he's making is they are so well-powered.
Yes.
And he's trying to evaluate the kind of company they are, and he thinks they are not going to stop until you desist.
Yes.
If that's true, you eventually are going to run out of money here, right?
Yes, unless I can get a following and supporting. And I'm obviously willing to put some of my own money into a lot of my money. I've put a lot of money into it already. So, and I'm not taking any of this money and going to spend it on a vacation or anything like that. It will all be public now, exactly where every penny went if it did get legs. And if there was excess money, we would put it in back into the Finger Lakes, maybe throw a festival or give it to somebody within the Finger Lakes, do something with it. We're not looking to make money off of this campaign. Obviously, I'm looking to make money in the future, but not on this fight.
No, it sounds like the money you're trying to raise here is just to pay legal bills.
That's right.
Against KFC. Brian Mastro-Simone is the man behind that slogan, Finger Lake and Good. He's locked in a legal battle with KFC over this. You've heard a lot this hour on how the law works and what might be ahead for him. But if you missed it, what Brian is he's a business owner who's got rental properties, he's got boat rentals, things like that. But he also wants to put a pub right near CMAQ. And he's got a 70-acre farm. The name of the farm that you can find on Facebook is?
Lincoln Hill Farms.
Lincoln Hill Farms. And that's how you can kind of follow this. If you want a shirt, you want to, that's how they're selling shirts to support the cause. They say Finger Lake and Good. There's no images of the colonel on the shirt. Brian's been very careful about that. But Lincoln Hill Farms, if you want to check that out. And 30 seconds. Tell people again, if you're successful here a year from now, 3 years from now, what are they going to find at that 70-acre site in Gorham?
You will find a place that you've never been to, tons of silos, lots of raised vegetable gardens, 8 acres of orchards, 7 acres of farmland. We have a hops yard going in. There are ponds. There will be places for stages, for multiple places for stages. It will be a very nice, groomed farm where you can bring your family, enjoy some meals, have a... some food and enjoy yourself.
And a beer?
You could definitely enjoy some beer for sure.
Well, this has been an education. Brian Mastro-Simone is Pittsford resident now, but got all these Finger Lakes operations under the name Finger Lake and Good. For now, we'll see. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you telling your story here.
Yeah.
And a lot of interest from our community in this. We'll see. Something to track. Our thanks to Rob Braden, the engineer, and Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Hope you have a nice afternoon. Hope you don't get sued. Talk to you tomorrow.